In Luke chapter 4 and verse 3, I'm going to read it one more time. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue was fastened upon him, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth. These were indeed gracious words. They were words of salvation to the poor, words of healing to the brokenhearted, deliverance to the imprisoned. It was a renewed vision for the blind. It was a gracious word of liberty to those that are bruised and abused. Was this not the message that Moses went down to Egypt to deliver to God's children? Moses was anointed to preach deliverance to those captives. Moses was anointed to set at liberty them that are bruised. Moses delivered gracious words, but here in a little Nazarene town stood one greater than Moses with a message greater than the message that Moses preached. The message they heard that day came from the great I Am, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord of all salvation, the King of all the earth. What a privileged people these were to hear these words literally from the lips of the Master himself. This homeboy, standing in his home church, spoke words like they had never heard before. Oh, they had heard these words read before, but never from the lips of the Master. They'd never heard a man read the Bible the way Jesus read the Bible. As one man said, "Never a man spake like this man." They were amazed and marveled at these gracious words, benevolent words, words of salvation, words of healing, words of sight, words of liberty. Never a man spake like this man. And we today are to preach that same message. We are to preach deliverance to the captives, those that are bound by sin. Who would not pity those that have been captured, those that are incarcerated? It's a saddening thing. We look at them with sympathy in our heart. Even for a man who is confined in our penal institutions, compelled to unwilling solitude and separation from those he loves. Yet there is a bondage that is worse than any ever afflicted by brick walls and iron bars. It is the bondage of sin. Sin is a transgression of the law of God, but it soon becomes your master. It grows into power. It becomes a power which holds the souls in its grasp. It enslaves the soul And when the soul will attempt to rise and to do that which God has intended for him to do, he cannot. Sin is holding him down. This is true of sin in all of its form, but it's much more than a transgression of God. It's a prison where the souls of men dwell. I'm going to slow down here and mention just four of these terrible sins. All sin is sin. All sin will take you to hell. But I want to mention three or four. One of those is error, which becomes an inveterate prejudice through which no light can shine. When I talk to people that are living in error, who do not believe the scriptures, there's no way that you can tell them the truth. And then there is the sin of folly, such as procrastination, which if you give it enough rope, it will entangle itself around your soul. And then there is the sins that we call vice. Vice, such as drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sexual addictions, gambling addiction. There is no other sin more worthy to be called a vice. These sins get a hold of a soul, and it's like it's in a vice. The victim of vice are indeed held by the cords of sin. They have him fast in a most degrading manner. There is the sin of vanity. How many a man is a wretched slave to the judgment of other men? They fear the condemnation. They fear the judgment of other men. They fear their ridicule, which impels them in a direction to which he knows he ought not to be going. It ties him to a position which he is longing to break away from, yet these sins have him bound. Jesus says, I have come to preach deliverance to the captives, to anything that would hold your soul in prison, to any sin, any vice that would imprison your soul or your mind. Jesus has deliverance for you today. Well, I'm going to stop the lesson right here. In fact, I thought that I was finished with this verse of Scripture. And then I reread that verse. And when I got down to the part where it says, the recovering of sight to the blind, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me again. My next lesson will be on that subject. Recovering of sight to the blind. Not the healing of the blinded eye, but the recovering of sight to the blinded eye.